Jim Peterson does Minnesota Timberwolves television, and they are taking on your Sacramento Kings this evening. Jim Peterson, also former Sacramento King. God, if I remember correctly, came over in the Ralph Sampson trade, I believe. Jim, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. How are you?
No, it's not. What did I walk into? What kind of conversation?
Seriously.
I've done a lot of radio interviews.
I know.
And usually I can decipher what's going on before I come on. What is going on here with you three?
It's like our audience. They have no idea. We're talking about the movie Passengers with Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence. If you've seen it, you get it.
I have not, no.
Yeah, don't waste your... It's a dumb love story. I thought it was aliens and shooting and stuff. It's not, so... Jim, didn't you come over to Samson?
I was in the Otis Thorpe trade with Roddy McRae.
That's right.
I'm an idiot.
That's right. Well, see, I tried to be smart, Jim, and as always, I failed. Yeah. How are things? Your Timberwolves, let me ask you this. Around Minnesota land, I've adopted the T-Wolves like three straight years because I think this is where it's at. They're so unbelievably young and talented. As far as fans go, are they fulfilling expectations? Are we happy where they're at, or are people kind of freaking out a bit?
I think that they're kind of freaking out a little bit. I think that I don't know what they expected. I do know what they expected. They were expecting contending for that eighth and final playoff spot, and they are, in a sense, just that the bottom of the Western Conference has not been as good as it normally is, but. I think they really thought that with Tom Thibodeau coming in, that defensively we'd be much better than we are. You know, I think that 23rd in the NBA in defensive rating, I don't think that they expected that. I think that they looked at Tom Thibodeau's track record in Chicago, and he took that team that Vinny Del Negro had, and then he made it into an elite defensive team. But it's not really apples to apples, because if you look at that team that Tibbs inherited in Chicago, he inherited Joakim Noah, Derrick Rose, Taj Gibson. You know, I mean, like, you're talking about like excellent defensive players already, and they were 41-41 when he got there, and they were already a playoff team. So it's not apples to apples. Tibbs inherited a roster of super young guys. Andrew Wiggins, Carl Anthony Towns, Zach LaVine, when the season started, were all under 22 years of age. So Andrew just turned 22 on the 23rd. Carl is, still young, and Zach's still young, but, they defensively just can't get it done. And the Wolves probably could easily have, every team could probably say this, Wolves could easily have 12 more wins if they just could have executed and had a few more veteran leaders on their team to get it done. And, you know, Katie, you sat there and watched the Kings dump games too, in kind of the same way, but, the Kings have lost a lot of close games this year. I just think that everybody kind of felt like we'd be better defensively, and that just hasn't happened.
Jim, isn't it amazing how a coach can have a reputation for a style like Tibbs with defense? Mike Malone, same thing. You look at Denver right now and what their defense looks like. You look at your guys' defense. It's funny how personnel factors into these things, right? It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, well, think about what Chicago had when Tibbs came to Chicago. I mean, like, it really makes a huge difference. I mean, Joakim Noah is one of the better defensive-minded centers. They were veteran guys. Somebody as simple as Kurt Thomas. Okay, Kurt Thomas was on that Chicago team when Tibbs first got there. Kurt Thomas was a 14-year veteran who was one of the better pick-and-roll defenders that you could have. In terms of communication and understanding and seeing scenarios on the floor, that Kurt Thomas could come in as a bench player and with your second unit and could hold things down for you. We just don't have that. We just don't have any veteran leaders. We have Cole Aldridge coming off the bench. And Cole's fine, but Cole can't score. Chris Dunn has been somewhat of a disappointment. Chris Dunn is he came into the league as a 22-year-old rookie. We had a game this year where it was Wiggins, Towns, LaVine, Tyus Jones and Chris Dunn on the floor. We beat the Clippers this year in LA on TNT. And get this, Chris Dunn, our rookie, was the oldest player on the floor.
Ooh. Wow.
Chris has been somewhat of a disappointment. So, Rubio has gotten better at shooting the basketball, but he's still not a great pick and roll point guard because he can't manipulate the defense the way you need to to be able to be successful, to hit the roller, to hit, you know, to make the defense react, to be able to hit three-point shooters when they rise up from the corner to the slot. Chris Dunn has not been able to make shots consistently. We just don't have that point guard offensively that can bend defenses to your will, and then we just have not been able to get stops enough to win close games.
And, you know, Jimmy, keep bringing up the defense, too. So there's that factor. You got Chris Dunn being a little bit disappointing. I mean, is that kind of the big stuff? Or how, you know, you look at Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins specifically, how is the development of those two coming along? Is that in a spot where you think it should be?
Andrew has been off the charts. He currently, right now, our last game against Houston, excuse me, Andrew just broke a franchise record of consecutive 20-point-plus scoring nights.
Wow.
Kevin Garnett had the record. Andrew just broke Kevin Garnett's record. And so that kind of shows you the consistency of Andrew Wiggins. Karl Anthony Towns just had 37 points in the game. He's been phenomenal. Towns is he's really developed into a dominant low-post scorer. You know, he's had games of 47-41, and he's got two 40-point games. Andrew has four 40-point games this year. Towns has had, a bunch of 30-point scoring nights. He's not quite as good as DeMarcus Cousins in terms of just completely dominating defenses down there in the low box, but he's right there with DC and Anthony Davis. And so, like, those three guys, are in my mind, the best centers in the league. And Towns is, you know, still 21 years of age. He's gonna grow into it. So Towns has been great. And the interesting thing is that both of their numbers have skyrocketed since Zach LaVine has gone down. So since Zach LaVine hurt his knee in Detroit over a month ago, Towns and Wiggins, their production's gone way up. Their shooting percentages have gone way up. And, you know, kind of the metrics, this was one of the things that we kind of noticed during the season, that Andrew Wiggins suffered when Zach LaVine was on the floor. You know, just shooting percentage-wise, they just didn't coexist well all the time. So not that we're worse off without Zach LaVine. We aren't. Obviously Zach LaVine going down was a huge thing for this team, and tearing your ACL is just the worst injury, because it means, you know, it's anywhere from six to 12 months recovery, depending. So I just have to say, Andrew has become he's become a top 20 talent, maybe. I think that defensively, and here's the thing, that, you know, one of the knocks against Rudy Gay was that Rudy, you know, didn't bring it every night, and that Rudy could do other things, but he didn't always do all the intangible things. And so Andrew doesn't give you high assists. Andrew doesn't give you high rebounds. And so I think at 6'8" and being so incredibly athletic, Andrew really needs to rebound his position better in order to be an elite level, top 15, top 10 talent. But he has the ability to be. He is unguardable. And he scores so effortlessly. And so that's Andrew's Andrew's legacy is going to be whatever he makes it. And you know, he could be Scottie Pippen, or he could be Rudy Gay. And Rudy Gay's a great player. Don't be wrong. But, you know, Rudy's not everything he could be given the skill sets that he has.
Jim Peterson joining us, Kings T-Wolves, tonight, 7:30, right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Jim, help me solve an argument I've been having with Kings fans for a long time. Ricky Rubio it's almost like what we were dealing with DeMarcus Cousins. It seems like he's available at every single deadline, but he never goes anywhere. And one of the knocks I consistently hear on Rubio, and I think a lot of this has to do with him being a Euro player, is that he can't play defense. And then I yell at everybody that, you know, he's not Gary Payton, but this is a guy who's one of the more underrated defenders in the league and is very active defensively. Am I overrating that and looking at numbers too much, or is Rubio a good defender?
No, Rubio's a good defender. Rubio is a disruptive defender. He has problems guarding certain types of point guards. He has very difficult problems trying to contain smaller, quicker point guards. Like in years past, he's had a really hard time containing Ty Lawson.
Yeah.
He's had a really hard time trying to contain guys like Isaiah Thomas. So those smaller, quicker point guards, especially if you stick Ricky in a ton of ball screens and the screeners happen to be excellent screeners, like if you get a piece of Rubio, sometimes he has difficulty getting over the top or underneath. And Katie, you know what that means in terms of a big trying to contain that.
Yeah.
If you've always got a point guard coming downhill at you all the time because your guard can't get through a screen, it really you know, puts your defense at a disadvantage. So those scenarios are scenarios that Rubio can struggle sometimes. But when it comes to hawking the ball or being a weak side defender where he understands passing lanes and he gets a ton of deflections. And he, for the most part, unless it's a bad matchup, Ricky can be very disruptive on the ball as well. So your assessment is correct. He really is a good defender, and he's a plus defender, and he's a great help defender, and he's a great teammate. He's a great leader. Ricky, there's so much to like about Ricky's game. He gets so much shade thrown at him because he has problems shooting perimeter jump shots, but he's such a maestro in terms of running and organizing your offense. He's one of my favorite all-time players with the Timberwolves. I've been with the Wolves for 19 years, and Ricky just is he's never had the personnel around him that he's needed to be successful. The Wolves have not had dominant or just dynamic three-point shooters around him. Ricky needs to have shooters and athletes around him. And, you know, there's, you know, obviously Wiggins and Levine and Towns have helped that, but they're so young, they don't know how to win. So Rubio's barely been a victim of, you know, early on, David Kahn, the kind of, you know, personnel, you know, decisions that David, we could have had Steph Curry.
Yep.
We picked Johnny Flynn. You know what I mean? Like there's just the personnel decisions that David Kahn made when Rubio first was drafted. Put Ricky behind the eight ball and really haven't accentuated the kind of player he could be.
Jim Peterson, former King, and does the analyst role for the Timberwolves, joining us this morning on KHTK. Now, there is a lot of changes, obviously, with this roster for the Sacramento Kings, and no longer do we get to see this matchup between these two teams as DeMarcus Cousins versus Karl Anthony Towns. We're now in a situation where there is not a single guy on this Kings roster, Jim, that you can call your go-to scorer. What are the advantages and disadvantages for the Timberwolves when they face that?
Well, we just saw that, Katie, with with the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah.
You know, they've got you know, Deron Williams was waived, and they've got a bunch of injuries, and you know, they trotted out a lineup that was very difficult for them to match up with Minnesota. Dirk Nowitzki. And, you know, Harrison Barnes playing the four and five, you know, Rick Carlisle's playing Harrison Barnes at the four, and Harrison Barnes offers, you know, from a defensive standpoint against your defense, he offers up problems because he can take people in isolation. He can, you know, beat you off the dribble, but he can't guard Karl Anthony Towns. So you're seeing some of these lineups that are different. You know, I'm sure Dirk looks around and goes, you know, who are these guys and who am I even playing with right now? You know, and I think it's kind of similar in Sacramento. I mean, Dirk's still kind of a go-to, but he's, you know, he's not the same player he was, obviously. And I think in Sacramento, you're kind of looking at trying to figure out a roster combination or a lineup combination that can be successful. And you know, I'm a big Dave Yeager fan. He, you know, Dave Yeager is probably the perfect coach for this team right now because of his CBA and D-League background. The CBA was a league that you would have a revolving door of players and you didn't even know who would be on your team from day to day. And so Dave Yeager has the ability to not sit there and worry about, you know, who's there. He just is going to take the guys that he has and he's going to coach them up.
I'm so glad that you said that, Jim, because I've been trying to tell people he has this reputation for not wanting to play young guys, not being able to develop it. I'm like, that's all he's had in the NBA, but look at what he's done before. He's used to this.
He's absolutely used to it. He's going to be positive. He's going to try to put guys in a successful situation. Hey, Dave Yeager is a Minnesota homeboy for me. I know him. I know what he's, and you know, Flip Saunders and I used to talk about this all the time because, you know, Flip, before he came into the NBA, was a CBA coach, and Flip used to talk about this all the time. And then he used to talk about what a great coach Dave Yeager was and his ability. Cause when you're I'm telling you, when you're a CBA coach, you just don't know what's going to be happening from day to day. Guys are getting called up to the NBA. Guys are getting traded. Guys are going to Europe. Your roster's always being shifted and changed, and you've got to stay positive, and you've got to come up with a game plan that can help this group of players that are going to be on the floor tonight win. And so that's what I really admire about Dave Yeager. He's in a tough situation. you know, I get it. I understand what's happened with the Sacramento team. I've been in the NBA since 1984. I played for the Kings. I know this market. I know your broadcast team. Grant Napier was doing games when I played here, for crying out loud. That's how old that dude is. I mean, he's been here for a long time. And Jerry Reynolds was my coach, you know. So so I know this organization. I know this team, and I know some of the problems that DeMarcus Cousins put on this franchise from a chemistry standpoint. From a you know, I get it. You know what I mean? So like. These things needed to happen. I can't believe how many negative things are being said about Vlade Divac and the deal that went down. And I, you know, trust me, there weren't a lot of teams out there that wanted to bring on DeMarcus Cousins. As good as he is, he's the best center in the league, and teams did not want to touch him because of the radioactive way that he interacts and can do things to your locker room. So. It's tragic. It's a tragic situation. It really is. It makes me sad for Sacramento Kings fans, who are, you know, arguably the best fans in the league. You know, when you come here, when it's great, these Kings fans are amazing, and they deserve better. And I think Vlade will do his best to make this a better situation. But it was just very difficult.
Jim, always good to have you back in Sacramento. Once a King, always a King. Good luck on the call tonight. We always appreciate your time.
Hey, I appreciate it, too. Hey, Katie, I want to tell you, too, I read your Candace Wiggins article. You did a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Jim. Yeah,
one of the things I did, too, I've been coaching in the WNBA for 8 years. I coached Maya Moore in Minnesota. We've won 3 championships, and Candace Wiggins was on our team. I don't know if you guys have gone through that topic, Katie, but your article was fantastic.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Take care, Jim.
Okay.
Have a great call, buddy.
Okay, guys.
Thank you. Yep. All right, that's Jim Peterson.